Hello, I am AA23, the official droid of Ashla Analysis.
Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
This is it! Everybody quiet!
Follow me, boys!
Got the dark side and the light side. One is selfless, one is selfish. You want to keep them in balance.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
That's not how the Force works.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Allow me to introduce our instructors in the Force, Master Eric and Master Rachel.
Hello to everybody listening out there in the universe. It is time for the next episode of Ashla Analysis with your hosts, Rachel and Eric.
Yes, Rachel, thanks very much. And this is the eighth episode of Ashla Analysis, in which we are going to be talking about the Jedi and Sith hierarchies, as well as the titles. So this will be interesting.
Yes, this is something that I think everybody kind of has a basic understanding about just from watching the films and for whatever, you know, expanded universe stuff that you might be into. But it was kind of cool to break it down and kind of see where everything landed and kind of more definitions of what they mean. So,
and Rachel, we had talked a little bit last month when we were talking about life in the Force, and there was a lot on both the light side and the dark side, but it was a little bit more in-depth when we went into the dark side discussion, because the light side, while there's a lot to it and there's a lot of training that's required to it, like we had talked about last month, there's really not a whole lot that we know. A lot of the stuff is unknown, and there's going to be a little bit more on the light side this particular month than there is for the dark side. They go into a little bit more depth in the Star Wars universe on the Jedi rather than the hierarchy and titles of the Sith.
Well, and again, much like we referenced, the idea that there, you know, weren't as many Sith, or, it, you know, even at the times when there were, you know, a good amount of them, they didn't necessarily all work together as a unit. Whereas with the Jedi, you know, the order had been established, you know, since way back to the very beginning where they were working together. And so when you have a group of people or peoples that are all kind of working towards a common goal, there has to be some kind of hierarchy. So that's why they have more kind of on the light side.
Yeah, and the Sith are very into the power, and there's this constant struggle for power. So, you know, they get to a point where they don't even care about the hierarchy.
Right, exactly. And then they just all kill each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start with the light side, like we like to do, and talk about different Jedi titles. So to begin with, we have the Jedi Initiate. So this is when a youngling, so like one of the very, very super young newborn to maybe toddler creatures who have been taken into the Jedi Temple, when they're old enough to receive individual training, they become a Jedi Initiate. And for humanoid species, this could be as young as age 2, of course, depending on when they can start taking instruction and that kind of thing. So the next step, of course, would be the Jedi Padawan, which most of you guys are familiar with. And these are Jedi initiates who have reached adolescence and have passed the initiate trials. And then they become a Padawan when they have been chosen by a Jedi Knight to be their apprentice. The cool thing is that the initiate trials, which are different than the Jedi Knight trials, of course, but the initiate ones, you have to demonstrate knowledge and understanding of the Jedi Code, and demonstrate self-discipline through meditation, lightsaber combat, and prove that the Force flows through you. So just kind of some of the basics, of course, of being the Jedi.
And Lucasfilm has done a fantastic job showing us specific examples of both of these, Rachel. Like, we get to see in the Clone Wars those episodes with Cad Bane where Darth Sidious had hired him to steal the Jedi Holocron, and then in turn go after some of these young Jedi, the babies, some of these, you know, young potential
younglings.
Force users.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not even old enough to speak. They're just making noises like a human baby almost. But we get to see Rodians and Gungans and Nautilins and all these other species. And then we get to see it again in Star Wars Rebels I believe it was season two, where Kanan and Ezra fend off the seventh sister and the fifth brother with these very young potential force users. And we obviously know that the Emperor and Darth Sidious was after these younglings, potential younglings, in order to convert them into Inquisitors or other dark side assassins of sorts. So I think both Lucasfilm and the creators of Star Wars Rebels and the Clone Wars did a phenomenal job showing us how young these characters are taken in order to become Jedi.
Yeah, and that makes sense, too, because let's say, you know, they're taken as infants, and, you know, from the age that they can start taking instruction and remembering things and you know, having that kind of interaction, if they're taught, you know, one way, then that's kind of hard to overcome. So that's why they're after them so young. And that's also kind of why, you know, the Council had reservations with Anakin. Like, look at how old he was at that point, you know? And so I love that we can continue on where all of this still makes sense and all ties together.
And that's part of it as well. I mean, you want to take them at a young age so that you can mold them and condition them to not have attachments and to not be able to and to be able to learn at such a young age the way of the Jedi. Whereas Anakin, he's 9 years old when he's learning. And like you said, Rachel, with the Jedi initiates, they can be taken as young as the age of two. So they have, you know, 7 years of this Jedi conditioning ahead of Anakin, which is why the whole thing with Anakin is crazy. And on top of that, Ezra was about 14. He turns 15 in Star Wars Rebels, and he was about 14 when Kanan found him and began his Jedi training. So we obviously see the repercussions of having him start at a much older age as well.
Right. One of the cool things, too, the next step is you hear a lot about, you know, becoming a Padawan or becoming a knight, and, you know, everyone wanted to be a master, and that's really the extent of what you see for the Jedi. But there's this whole other aspect to it. Like, what if you're a Padawan and you don't pass the, or you're not a Padawan, what if you're an initiate and you don't pass the initiate trials to become a Padawan? Like, what do you do then? So there's this whole other side called the Jedi Service Corps. And this is for initiates that did not pass the trials, or even if they had passed, but they never were chosen to be a Padawan and be trained. So in that case, you would still want to serve the Jedi Order, and in most cases, you know, the Republic. And you could go to either the Agricultural Corps, Medical, Exploration, or Education Corps, and still, you would still be considered a Jedi, and you'd still be serving the Jedi Order, but you would be honing your talents for those particular areas and not necessarily being, you know, the guardians of peace and justice like we all well know.
That's interesting that there are so many varieties and so many paths that you can take starting from such a young age within the Order.
Yeah, and it was cool because you can see that, like, for the Agricultural Corps, for example, there were Jedi that were more in tune with plant life or biology or something like that, and they used that to help, you know, the greater good of either a particular sector or universe or, you know, anything that was needed to kind of add to the greater good. So it was kind of sweet. There's many references to the Jedi Service Corps in, of course, the books that we reference. But the interesting thing is that a lot of the Jedi that we're more familiar with have little notations in there about how honorable it is to be part of one of these. So, and I don't think so much in a condescending way, but I think in a way that all Jedi understand that regardless of where their path is, even if it's not the flashy front lines, you know, commanding a clone army way, they all still understand that they're serving the Force.
Yeah, and we're very used to the generals who are on the front lines of battle fighting alongside clones, or the Jedi that go up against Sith Lords in the films, or, you know, characters like that. But really, there is this whole order. And if you think about what happens in Attack of the Clones when a bunch of these Jedi come to Geonosis and they're taking out all these Geonosians and battle droids and things like that, there are hundreds of of Jedi that are around the galaxy, and you know, thousands of Jedi at that time that were roaming the galaxy. And compared to what we see, you know, we just get a handful. So there's a whole right. order that exists beyond what we see in the films.
Right. So let's do Jedi Knight next, because that would essentially be the next step. A Jedi Knight is the title for Padawans who have passed the Jedi Knight trials, and they're no longer bound to their master. They operate now as an active member of the Jedi Order, of course, and they could take on their own apprentices. And the trials, they're, I mean, you kind of see Obi-Wan reference the fact, you know, that he's ready to take the trials, but at the same time, seemingly saying that very nervously.
Obi-Wan is ready.
I am ready to face the trials.
Our own council we will keep on who is ready.
The trials consist of skill, courage, spirit, insight, and trials of the flesh, which essentially is referring to, you know, pain and healing and stuff. So there's this big, huge task of being able to not only survive, but, you know, keep your mind and body and soul on the right path in order to be considered a knight. So it was very prestigious.
And one of my favorite scenes in all of Star Wars, whether it's even animation or television or live action films, is the scene in the Star Wars The Clone Wars Volume 2 Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars micro series, where we get to see Anakin knighted, and they have the entire council turn their lightsabers on, and the pitch black, and the lightsabers illuminate it, and then Yoda standing over there, and he ends up cutting off Anakin's Padawan braid, and basically being like, you know, you are a knight. And that's one thing that I really love about the character of Anakin, is that his trials and the way that Anakin became a Jedi Knight, sort of graduating from a Jedi Padawan, was so unorthodox compared to all of the other Jedi that we're used to at the time.
Well, you know, that's his way, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, after you're a Jedi Knight, of course, and you've been operating within the Order, you may have taken on some specialties, whether, you know, like we've talked about before, whether it's lightsabers or particular force powers or different styles and things. The goal, obviously, would be to become a Jedi Master. And those that are given this title, they have demonstrated the deepest understanding of the Force. They would have had to have trained a Padawan to become a knight at some point. And for most of the history of the Jedi, it also means that they're granted a seat on the Jedi Council, that they, you know, get to be a part of the overall decision-making.
And this is what brings me back to the whole Anakin thing again. And I'm sorry for those of you who are just sick of this, but Anakin was on his way to training Ahsoka to be a knight. I mean, Ahsoka was progressing fabulously.
Very quickly, yeah. Yeah.
And that would have been Anakin's ticket to becoming a Jedi Master. But then obviously everything, you know, falls through and Ahsoka's framed and she ends up leaving the Order. She feels like they didn't trust her and she feels betrayed. And so Anakin obviously did not ever get to that point where he trained Ahsoka to be a knight. And then we see in episode 3 that Anakin's all upset because he gets granted permission to be on the council, but he's not a master, and it causes this big riff.
What kind of nonsense is this? Put me on the council and not make me a master? It's never been done in the history of the Jedi. It's insulting.
Calm down, Anakin. You have been given a great honor.
It's one of those things where you kind of look like you look at Anakin and you say, well, yeah, maybe he is stronger than a lot of these Jedi that are on the council. You know, you put up Anakin Skywalker in a one-on-one duel with Ki-Adi Mundi, I'll take Anakin any day of the week.
Right, you know? Exactly.
But that does not necessarily mean that he gets granted a specific rank among the Jedi.
And you got to remember, too, like, even for those of you that think, you know, well, why not? It's just a title, that kind of a thing. It has been something that was so prestigious and specifically given out to people that have absolutely proven and earned it time and time again for thousands of years, you know, that that would be like, you know, saying, oh, someone can just, you know, be declared the Emperor of China or something, like, back when that was the big thing. For, you know, just being strong. That's not how they did things. So, something that not everybody got, and of course Anakin was a little bit upset about.
Yeah, and that brings me back to Qui-Gon as well, because there's a line in Episode 1 where Obi-Wan says,
"If you would just follow the code, you would be on the council. They will not go along with you this time.
You still have much to learn, my young apprentice."
And at this point, Qui-Gon was already a master, but he was just so against, you know, everything that went by the book. He had his own way of training, and Yoda even says at some point, you know, "Qui-Gon's defiance, I sense in you. Need that, you do not," to Obi-Wan. And so, you know, Yoda and Qui-Gon obviously didn't see everything eye to eye. And while they're both wise and they both are, you know, some of the most well-known Jedi for their wisdom, especially, just because you're a master and just because you have the ability to does not necessarily always mean that you get a spot on the council.
Right. So both things were considered to be, you know, something that you had to earn. And so that's what we're seeing in these examples. The cool thing is that Jedi Master isn't necessarily where it stops, which may be a surprise to many of you. But there is such a thing as a Grandmaster. And very, very few members of the Jedi Order ever received this. It was like such an honorable title. It was only given to the oldest and wisest members. And it was the seat that you got to be the chairman of the High Council. So, for example, you know, Mace held this title. We see Yoda being the head of the council. There was a grandmaster called Fae Coven, which wrote a lot of the stuff in the Jedi Path. So those are the titles given to the people that are considered to be, you know, some of the pillars of the entire order.
Yeah, and even in the legacy books, Grandmaster Luke Skywalker is something that exists as well. Luke actually receives this title as well in the legacy novels.
Yes. So, and what's cool about Luke is it's not something that, you know, he gave himself because there was less Jedi or anything like that. It kind of followed along that same path where it was something that as he earned all the honor and respect of those that he was training and the new temple and such, that they, you know, all were elevating, of course, to put him as Grand Master, which was pretty cool.
And if you ever play the Star Wars miniatures game, I know I brought this up on multiple occasions in the past, there are characters that exist, like Grandmaster Yoda is a character that exists, so you can definitely say, oh, hey, he received that rank. And even Grandmaster Luke Skywalker, who is arguably one of the most powerful pieces, if not the most powerful piece in the game. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there is one other title outside of the Grandmaster. And this is called Master of the Order. And this is a Jedi who is elected by, it has to be a unanimous vote of the council, to lead the entire Jedi Order, which is a pretty big responsibility. Also not something that any Jedi would essentially be seeking for himself, right? Because that's just not the way. But interestingly enough, Yoda, of course, held this title. But we also find out that Mace Windu was also once Master of the Order. So pretty cool.
And that's something that is to kind of be expected. I mean, we hear about the tremendous abilities of Mace Windu as a Jedi, and we see that he has a different color lightsaber signifying, you know, he is different. And we hear about Yoda in the original trilogy. He says,
"For 800 years have I trained Jedi. My own counter will I keep on who is to be trained."
So it's very clear that Mace Windu and Yoda both held this title at one point.
Yeah, which is awesome. So a couple other titles that I wanted to throw out there for you would be starting with a Jedi Guardian. This is kind of what they called most of the Jedi that you're used to seeing. They generally have a blue lightsaber blade, and they're the Republic's first line of defense, you know, like we were talking about earlier, Eric. So there's also Jedi Peacekeepers, which would specialize in more like security, policing. They would be a group that would be like the temple guards, that kind of thing. And a lot of them would get sent either by the Republic or would be sent by the Order, you know, to a particular like planetary system or something to kind of help facilitate when they needed maybe more people or more insight on whatever security issues were happening and things like that. So there's also Jedi counselors. Of course, they uphold the central precepts of the Jedi Code, but they're very skilled in negotiations and politics and things of the sort. I love it when you do Obi-Wan's voice like that. And we have Jedi Sentinels. I know there's a few people that particularly like this group. They have the yellow lightsaber blades. And a lot of times when I go to cons or meet, you know, people in various groups, they're very proud to be bearing the yellow blade.
And but that's something that you don't see often. You know, the yellow blade is a very rare sighting.
Yeah. Well, and it's because that a Jedi Sentinel would be the balance between a Consular and a Guardian. So they kind of have both skill sets going on, but they have this civilian expertise. So as an example, they have skills that don't necessarily require the Force, like technology skills like hacking, or they might be, you know, sent to oversee the welfare of a particular region, or they would be the spies, you know, investigating different things. So they kind of get to be involved in stuff that's maybe more tied to a particular planetary system or a particular sector in Coruscant or something like that, but they don't necessarily put all their eggs into the Force bucket.
And what's interesting about all of these that you're talking about, Rachel, the Guardians, the Peacekeeper, the Counselors, and the Sentinels, they are most well-known from Knights of the Old Republic. If you've ever played that video game and you're creating a character and, you know, your lightsaber determines, your lightsaber color sort of determines what you are and the type of character that you're going to be. And this is now something that a lot of people have adopted as, you know,
well,
okay, this is what we do, and this is how, you know, if you're a Jedi and you have this color lightsaber, that's what this means. And, you know, throughout the years, it has changed a little bit. You look at the Jedi Temple guards who are guarding, you know, the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. They have these yellow blades, not necessarily Jedi Sentinels. You know, they're not necessarily the hacking type, but they're there to sort of guard the temple. So they do change over time, but generally thought of, this is kind of the way that Jedi can be identified.
Well, and to your point, you know, a lot of these titles might have really only been in practice in the Old Republic, and then, you know, some of it either evolved or was adopted into a couple other forms where they have combined it in the New Republic. But interestingly enough, there was all these different variations at some point in history that you could be.
Right.
One of my favorite, actually, would be a Jedi Seer. And even though in the Old Republic you kind of had them where they were more dedicated to this particular title, as the history or timeline went on, more people could be Seers, among other things. But to be a Seer, you had to understand at a very, very, like, at a highest level, the unifying Force. The Seers would be able to hear the Force, feel the will of the Force on any, you know, given issue. And they're the ones that got the visions, whether they be, you know, past or future type of things. But the visions are what always gets me. I love that kind of thing. And as I may have mentioned before to you, Eric, you know, in my family, we kind of have dreams and things that are similar to that, that end up coming true, or that always have a meaning tying to stuff that happens in real life. So I think this one hits pretty close to home for me.
Yeah, that's really cool. I do not have that, unfortunately. But what I find fascinating about the Jedi, and as we all know, I obviously side more with the dark side of the Force and the Sith and all that. But what I really do like about the Jedi is that you sort of have all of these categories that you can kind of fit into. The Sith, it's very, very black and white.
So. No pun intended.
Yes.
Yes. So one other one that is similar is the Jedi Healer, right? So they have the higher connection to the living Force and can heal people and things. But again, in the Old Republic, people that were more dedicated like a healer, and in the New Republic timeline, you know, people dabbled in doing a little bit of healing amongst all the other things that they were doing. The other one that is kind of more Old Republic is the Jedi Ace, which the name is really cool because it's the only one that's really like slang. The rest of them are, you know, titled according to their particular skill set, but the Ace, they were members of a starfighter corps, and they would pilot a starship or a fleet of savage starfighters, mostly alongside the Republic, and help them, you know, with various missions and keeping control and keeping the peace and such like that. But they only accepted the absolutely best pilots that then had, like, a help, of course, from using the Force and such. And they can even control some of the speeds of the ships or some of the universe around them to help them maneuver better. And this was something that Anakin had heard about and was super interested in, and, you know, obviously being disappointed that that wasn't necessarily a title that you could hold once the Clone Wars were going, and he just kind of had to do everything. But
yeah, a lot of these I feel like Anakin could fit into. You know, he was really good with building and fixing things. He was a really good pilot. He was really good at, you know, fighting. He had a crazy ability and command of the Force. You know, so I think at some point, if Anakin had not turned to the dark side or got all of his limbs cut off, he could have hit that point of being a Grandmaster at some point.
Yeah, I think, too, that he probably would have reached for a title like that because he wouldn't have been happy in only one of these particular areas, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so just to close up the light side here, there's a couple more titles that were given, again, mostly in the Old Republic, but to give you an idea, the breadth of what you could do, they had specific Jedi recruiters. They had specific researchers, ambassadors, diplomats, and of course the lore keepers, which were, you know, the historians or the librarians or the keepers of all of the knowledge, which they, all the Jedi kind of held those lore keepers as kind of like you would your grandmother or, you know, that aunt or uncle that knows all the history about your family that every time you have a question, you go to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they held them in very high esteem for keeping the history and the knowledge, which, of course, is one of the pillars of the Jedi.
All right, there you go. Well, let's get into the dark side of the Force. Now, you may know, like, we have all these Jedi titles, Jedi Master, Jedi Knight, Jedi Grand Master, and well, you think about the Sith and you think, okay, well, we have Dark Lords of the Sith and we have Sith Apprentice and we have Sith Master. Well, all that really means is that, okay, if you're a Sith Master, you are the one of the two Sith, the rule of two, you are the one who is embodying the knowledge. And then if you're the Sith Apprentice, you are craving the knowledge and you have this desire to learn, to get the power, to get that knowledge, and then at some point challenge the Master to become the Sith Master. So
right.
There's really nothing specifically that you have to do to become a Sith Master other than take out your own Master.
So that's, you know.
That's essentially the way that it is. But Darksiders, as we have talked about in the past, and I'll say this again, just because you use the dark side of the Force does not mean that you are a Sith. And so to become a Sith, you have to study and you have to learn the ways of the Sith, not just necessarily tap into the dark side of the Force. And so, you know, at some point, we all got this title of Darth. And so this is what Darth Bane says about the Darth title. And quote, "It is a title of power. It carries authority and is crowned by the judgment of history. It symbolizes transformation. When I took Darth as my title, I put away my childhood name. What does it matter that I once was a miner or a soldier? The only thing that matters is what I will achieve." End quote. And again, that was by Darth Bane who said that. And this is something that the Sith hold very near and dear, and it's something that you get. This is part of your name as a Sith. If you remember in Revenge of the Sith, Palpatine says to Anakin,
"Henceforth, you shall be known as Darth Vader."
Anakin, at that point, really hadn't done a whole lot to deserve that
title. Yeah.
So that's just the way of the Sith. You sort of get appointed that name, you know, when you become that apprentice. And then as Anakin learned and he studied from Sidious and he studied the way of the Sith. It's not like he was just, you know, running around using the dark side force without having to learn the specific ways of the Sith and practice the Sith code. There's a lot that goes into being a Sith. So
many... you see Darth Vader kind of acknowledge this fact, even in the original trilogy, with just how he interacts with the Emperor. You know, he talks about him, you know, like someone who he's learning from still. He takes the bowing and putting out his bidding as, you know, something that's honorable to get him where he wants to be.
Absolutely. And this falls, everything that you watch, and, you know, not including Legends, of course, because we have clones of Palpatine and everything, but when you watch Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, and I had mentioned, in order to become the Master, you have to take out the Sith. That's just the way of the Sith. There's always a big confrontation between the Sith Apprentice and the Sith Master, and this, if you had read the Darth Bane books, you'll understand this a little bit more, that Bane knows, okay, I know at some point my apprentice Darth Zana is going to attack me. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
And it's crazy that you go through life knowing that this person that you're teaching the ways of the Force to and the ways of the dark side is going to turn on you and take your spot at some point. But that's what happened. If you remember at the end of Return of the Jedi, Vader launched Palpatine off that into the Death Star's core, essentially. And so, you know, Vader was essentially the one to get rid of Palpatine and, you know, to keep that tradition of the Sith going. But let's talk about where the name Darth comes from. Well, how did the Sith get this name Darth? Many people believe that Darth came from an ancient Rakatan term called Dar-Ta, which means triumph or conquest over death. And other theories suggest that this Dar-Ta means triumph through death of one's enemies. The only other way that, term that people think, well, maybe the Darth title came from this, is something called Daritha, which means emperor. And so both of these theories suggest immortality. And this is all taken from the Book of Sith. And we get a lot from Darth Bane in there talking about what these different terms of ancient Rakatan terms mean and how we get the name Darth. So it's not 100% confirmed either way, but this is where people think that the name came from. Now, Darth Bane believes that in reality it doesn't come from any of these historical languages, but rather the proud histories and accomplishments of people who have borne the title. And some of these people might include Darth Andedu, Darth Revan, Darth Malak, Darth Malgus, who we see in Star Wars The Old Republic, Darth Ruin, and Lord Khan. And if you've ever played Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, you're probably familiar with characters like Darth Revan and Darth Malak, and those two are the ones who are generally believed to be the first one to have used the title. But there are even some sources that would disagree with that and said that there may have been some that even predated their use of the title. But in Sith history, it's generally thought of that Revan and Malak were the first ones to have claimed the title Darth.
Which makes sense to me, too, because when looking at those Sith, they, you know, were in a time when they were looking more for that immortality or being able to transcend or, you know, affect things more in that almost spiritual way rather than, you know, just kind of being the strongest among the Sith, that kind of thing. So I tend to like the idea that it would have come from them just because they're more deeply rooted into, you know, what can happen with the Force, you know, if you've gained the right knowledge and power and such through the dark side.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. When I talk to people about Star Wars and I'm explaining, well, this is how the Sith Order started and this is where the Darth title came from, I generally tell them it was Darth Revan and Darth Malak who were the first ones to use that Darth title. Revan was the master, Malak was the apprentice. And, you know, Revan and Malak have become very popular characters that both have action figures and Star Wars miniatures. And it was actually last year that the Hasbro figure fan choice, all the fans selected Darth Revan to be the fan choice figure
right.
for the Black Series 6-inch. So very excited to actually see that hitting the stores. Fan's Choice figure Darth Revan 6-inch. So that'll be really cool. Black Series. Now, what's interesting is that about 4,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, Episode 4, that battle at the first Death Star, in year 3951, 3,951, before the Battle of Yavin, the Darth title disappeared. All of the Sith who had that title were destroyed, and nobody else used it until about 2000, the year 2000 before the Battle of Yavin, when it was resurrected by the Sith named Darth Riven, who fled into space because all these Jedi were after him, and he ended up getting killed by a Jedi, and so then it disappeared again until about 1,000 years later in the year 1000 before the Battle of Yavin, where Darth Bane decided that he was going to again bring back the title of Darth, and not only that, but instill his rule of two within the Sith Order. So this Darth Bane guy, who we've talked about in previous episodes, is well known for not only his rule of two, but bringing back the title of Darth in the year 1000 before the Battle of Yavin. And pretty much ever since then, if you are a Sith, you have that title, Darth.
So one other thing that you just reminded me of that I find very interesting, and I have this conversation or debate a lot with people who are kind of just getting in or re-getting into Star Wars since The Force Awakens came out. But a lot of the conversation is around Kylo Ren, and, you know, they don't understand why, you know, that's not his name. You know, his real name being Ben Solo, but he took on a different name, but it's not a Darth title. And so we go around and around about this. But interestingly enough, you know, here we have Ben Solo, who is striving to embrace the dark side, being taught, you know, by Snoke, and changes his name prior to achieving title of Sith. Because he's trying to get rid of all the light in him, he's trying to push away, you know, his past life. And so he changes his name prematurely and takes on the name from the Knights of Ren, which I have a sneaking suspicion we're going to be able to get to see a little bit more of in Episode 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I have a little bit of a different opinion on this than you do, Rachel, because we've talked about this in past episodes with Maul and things like that. I personally believe that Anakin destroyed the Sith. We will not see any more Sith at all in Star Wars. And now I could be totally wrong. I could be like way off with that. But I believe that George Lucas meant for it to be Anakin Skywalker as the chosen one. He meant for the Sith to be totally destroyed. Like I said, that does not mean that we will not see any more dark side force users. And even though people can be trained using the dark side of the force, as we saw with, you know, Asajj Ventress, Dooku had right. trained her to use the dark side of the force. We got to see Dooku training firsthand in the Clone Wars. We got to see him training Savage Opress. But Savage never had that title of Darth. He was never considered a Sith. We got to see Grievous training under Count Dooku. Grievous is not a Force user. He is not a Sith. He never becomes a Sith. But he right. is still trained in the Jedi arts by Count Dooku, as he says. But he never achieves that title of Sith. He never achieves that title. And so I personally believe that the reason why Ben Solo has the name Kylo Ren, like you said, with the Knights of Ren and everything, but he obviously did not want to be... That name Ben Solo is something that he wanted to get rid of, much like right. Anakin. He does not like to be referred to as Anakin. He says,
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self. You've only forgotten.
And that's similar to what I think Ben Solo did. He obviously worships Vader, and he really wants to be like him in a lot right. of ways. So he gets rid of his name Ben Solo and changes it to Kylo Ren.
Your son, he's gone. He was weak and foolish like his father, so I destroyed him.
In my opinion, we will not see the title Darth again in Star Wars.
But yeah, we'll and see. I don't know, I guess, what I think about that yet. All I am, like, basing that on is the fact that you can clearly see, obviously, like you said, that, you know, Kylo is wanting to get rid of the attachment to the Solo name. It mm-hmm. has it holds a whole lot of weight. It's tied to the Skywalkers. It's, you know, and he's trying to get rid of that, and he's trying to pull himself to an achievement towards the dark side, and so changing the name to get rid of that. And, you know, whether or not Snoke, whether we find out what he is, he's still trying to train Kylo to be in the dark side and towards being a Sith, you know? So it just, we'll have to see if that actually happens.
I think the biggest thing is we don't know much about Snoke yet. And and as we continue to get more films, it'll be interesting to see what Snoke actually becomes and, you know, more about his history.
That's a good point, too, because he does say your training, you know, isn't complete. You need to continue your training, but we don't necessarily towards what.
Leave the base at once and come to me with Kylo Ren. It is time to complete his training.
Well, right. I mean, you just, you assume it's training in the dark
side. That's true.
You assume, right. But like I said, you can be somebody who studies the ways of the dark side, but doesn't necessarily follow the Sith code. And so there are two different things. So
we'll have to see.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, that will do it for our discussion on the hierarchy of the Force and titles. So, as always, Rachel and I do know a lot about Star Wars, but we get help from the experts. So, on this month's episode, we use The Book of Sith, The Jedi vs. Sith, The Ultimate Guide to the Force, and The Jedi Path. So, that will get us to our point in the show where we have one of our favorite segments called Verses. Now, Rachel, last month we had talked about living in the Force and life in the Force, and we had an interesting matchup between Qui-Gon Jinn for the light side and Darth Sidious for the dark side. And, you know, we had been asking, I had asked a bunch of you guys and our listeners last month to be a little bit more participative in our polls. And so what I decided to do is I decided to not only put our poll on SurveyMonkey and on Facebook, but I put it on Twitter. And 75% of the people who voted for Qui-Gon on Twitter. Now, I did add the SurveyMonkey poll into this as well, and we had a 50-50 split on SurveyMonkey. So when you combine the two, it still works out to Qui-Gon winning this month's Versus segment.
Woo! What an interesting match.
Yes, so I'm going to continue to post things on my Facebook, or my Twitter page, excuse me, which is @_EricPfeiffer. So if you're interested in voting for our Versus segment, you can vote either on the SurveyMonkey link, which I'm going to be posting on our Ashla Analysis Facebook page, or you can go onto my personal Twitter page and vote on there as well. So either one.
Awesome.
Okay, so this month we had talked about the hierarchy of the Force, and we had talked about the titles, such as Jedi Master, Grand Master, the Darth title. So who are you going to pick for this month's Versus segment, Rachel?
Well, so as we were going through, I wanted to pick somebody that, of course, held the titles for Grand Master, but also that was Master of the Order, because that was such the elite spot to be, you know, for all of the Jedi Order. And so I think I wanted to go with Mace Windu this time because he's got so much that's directly ingrained into the Order and the, you know, history and the way things are supposed to be. But then he himself has such skill set and the way that he thinks is a little bit outside of the box. And so he brings all of that perspective. And so Mace Windu is going to be my choice.
I like that choice. And it appears as though we might be having a battle of the purple lightsabers.
Ooh!
If you remember, I was talking a little bit about some of the people who were some of the first people to have used the title Darth, and one of the most popular expanded universe characters that exists in the Star Wars lore to date is a character by the name of Darth Revan. So I'm going to pick Darth Revan for this month's Versus segment.
Oh, I wish we could actually battle with these characters against each other to see. This would be super interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a good one. And so, like I said, I will post this both on the Ashell Analysis Facebook page with a picture of the two going head-to-head, and there'll be a link there. So if you want to vote, you can just click on that link, which will take you to the SurveyMonkey page, and you can just vote on there. Or you can go on Twitter, if you have a Twitter, to my personal page, @_EricPfeiffer, and vote there as well. Now, Rachel, we have an interesting topic for our next month's show. Would you like to tell everybody what we're going to be talking about?
We've been talking a little bit about the hierarchies and kind of a lot of the stuff that happened in Old Republic and the New and kind of the changes. So we thought it would be really interesting to go through the history of the quest for the balance between light and dark. There's a lot of struggles and fights and things that have broken out between the light and dark side, enough to where one side or the other has been just about eliminated. And so there's a lot of wars that are continuously being waged in this overall need for everything to be balanced out. So we're going to talk about that history next time.
Yeah, and we'll definitely touch on the Great Jedi Purge with Order 66 and the attempt to eliminate the Jedi. We'll talk about the Great Sith Wars and the Mandalorian Wars, which happened thousands of years before the movies. So we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about on next month's show. All right, that will do it for this month's episode of Ashla Analysis. For Eric and Rachel, we will see you next month. Thank you so much for listening to this presentation of the Twin Suns Podcast Network. May the Force be with you.
And with you.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
The Sith rely on their passion for their strength.
Sith and Jedi are similar in almost every way, including their quest for greater power.